Welcome to the Better Business, Better Life podcast. I'm your host, Stuart Wilkinson, and Happy New Year. Welcome to 2022. I hope everyone had a great Christmas and holiday break. Well deserved after a very difficult 2021. So today, we're going to talk about goal setting and planning. Over a time period like Christmas, it often gives us time to reflect and think about what we want for the year ahead. So today I'm going to be catching up with Dave Jaggs, our Tauranga-based business partner, to talk about goal setting and how you put in place a plan for the year ahead. We talk through the process we take our clients through and why we think it's important to look through your business in a number of different lenses. And then we talk a little bit about execution, because without execution, the plan's a bit of a waste of time, to be honest. So we hope you enjoy this podcast. Please subscribe where you're listening to us and also give us a review. All helps with more people listening to this podcast. And make sure you check us out on social media for all the updates from Rightway. Dave, welcome back to the podcast in
2022.
Happy New Year and all that to all the listeners.
Yeah, we've made it.
you joke, but sometimes last year it was like, oh my Lord, when's this going to end?
Bring on 2022.
An Omicron. Let's bring on more.
So far, we've had a cyclone almost hit New Zealand, a volcanic eruption.
Yep. Threat of Omicron on our doorstep with reports of how many are in MIQ every day. So not much has changed, to be honest.
It's all uphill from here, surely.
Is it exactly? It's just going to be a smooth sailing 2022. So Dave, look, we've obviously had a chat, and everyone's kind of getting back into the gist of things over the last few weeks. Some people came back on the 10th. Most people are back definitely by now. We're recording this on Tuesday, 18th. I definitely got the sense that a lot of people took a minimum of the 10th off. I think there was more people took some time off over the Christmas break than maybe they normally would, and understandable after the 2021 year. But when we've got time and when we've got space, and some people didn't even think about work or their business, which is probably a really good thing, to be honest. But the calendar year, it does think of or spark thoughts of goals. Where do I want to be? How do I not be affected by the uncertainty, or how do I deal with the uncertainty of another lockdown or more restrictions or whatever that's going to come our way? So planning is a thing that happens in the January window, or thoughts around it. And so we thought we've done this a couple of times in the January window, just to have a talk about where to start around planning. And we've got kind of two sections we're going to go through of goal setting and then planning, and how they're a bit different, but we'll talk about that.
I don't know, like, fellow Englishman, I always find it a little bit weird in the fact, like, you have Christmas and your school holidays and everything all in one go. So you get that kind of wrap up to Christmas, plus you get the school holidays. So genuinely, yeah, Christmas in January, or December and January, I should say, depending what industry you're in, they're not that busy.
It's a fragmented time, others, isn't it?
It's absolutely gangbusters, isn't it?
Yeah. It is a weird time of year. Still not used to a hot summer, a hot Christmas, warm Christmas. All the Kiwis listening, like, oh God, whatever.
Yeah, get rid of these palms.
Yeah,
well, listen to them whinging about it.
As long as we don't speak about cricket, that's fine. this is not
there was no cricket to talk about.
No, well, and yes, so I think, and we part of this sort of build up to this day, you know, goals. I think that, let's start with goals. For any business owner, goals, they'll have personal goals, and then that has to transcribe and have some form of linkage with the business goals. But what we're seeing a lot more now is that isn't purely financial. And I think that's getting more prevalent, to be honest. I don't think, you know, it's not like, oh, I just want to earn this amount of money. There's time is a common discussion we've got with a lot of business owners at the moment on how do I reduce the time I'm having to spend running the business or being on the tools or doing a part of a particular business. But when you're talking about goals with your clients, Dave, what sort of themes and what's the discussions that you have with them?
The first thing I always want to know is I want to know what's driving them currently. And I think people often get hung up on the fact that this is their driver. This is why I'm self-employed, or this is why I run a business. But I think that changes. And I think it changes with years. It changes with where you are in your life. It changes with economic circumstances. And I think it's really important to just kind of always think that your goals are changing, so your plan needs to change.
Mm.
So normally what I want to try and work out is I want to try and work out whether someone is looking for like a financial incentive. So they're going out self-employed, or the kind of the focus of the year is to earn more money, or whether they're looking to increase like brand awareness or kind of influence and power, or whether they're just generally looking to increase kind of flexibility and get some time back in their lives.
Yeah.
Because every business or every person is at a different stage in their life and they require different things. Like when I first went out self-employed, I wanted to earn. And I thought being self-employed was the way to do it. And, you know, it was awesome. But then surely after about 2 or 3 years, I'd kind of done the hard yards, and actually I just wanted to get some of my life back. I wanted to stop working 12-hour days. So it was kind of like my goals evolved and changed. And then, you know, sure enough, kind of got some time back, but I was still on this fixed schedule and I wanted to find flexibility in my life.
Yeah.
So you kind of like, it's naive to think your goal will always be the same, but I think people often pen themselves in this box of this is what I'm trying to achieve, when actually it changes and it changes regularly.
Yep. Yep. I don't think, and look, we, you know, you, as humans, we are, it's easier for us to think about what's happening tomorrow, what's happening at the end of the week, than think about what's happening in 5 to 10 years time, because there's too much time for us to kind of piece that puzzle together. But there, you know, and some business owners are really clear about this, but some are not, and kind of do live a bit year by year or month on month around this is, If you haven't, and especially with what's happened, it probably has changed your view a little bit over the last 2 years. The idea of what's your exit from the business is a discussion you need to have. Now, that's not an easy question. You need to digest that, think about it, especially if there's family involved. You know, we see this in a lot of the agri sense where there's family involved. That's a huge succession. It's a huge topic and quite a specialist need. But I was listening to listening to a podcast. I can't listen to an article. You listen to podcasts. About this guy who's talking about succession and exit. And the first thing he said, well, if you don't discuss it, that's the first step. Like, you have to have a discussion and don't be afraid. So I think for any business owner, wherever you are, whether you've just started up or whether you're 10 years into it or whatever, it doesn't matter if you're in your 30s, your 20s or 40s, whatever, what is my exit from this? And you don't have to have that concrete, but what are you looking for out of it? Is it, oh, I want to sell it, or I want to pass it on to Dave, who's a really good employee, whatever. But I think, because if you don't have a kind of a longer term view of, hey, this is the rough finish line of where I'm going, these short term goals you put in place might actually not be serving your purpose of what you're doing. And so you've got to have a longer term view a little bit here, Dave, don't you? Because otherwise it becomes transactional.
And I guess this is one of those kind of points where you can be a little bit, or I can be naive and not questioning people, but it's like, you know, has your business got a vision statement? And then every time you think about your goals, it's like, well, is that vision statement still true? Is that where we're trying to get to? Or does it need to change as the business has evolved or the market's evolved, or, do you know, any numerous things? Because I think if your vision statement stays the same, then you can move on to the next bit. It's like, well, okay, what am I trying to achieve? Is the exit point still the same? And, you know, we talk about an exit point. And that doesn't necessarily mean sell, like you said. It could be handing on to someone else. It could be you exit the company, but you still own it.
Yep,
because
exactly
you've built it to a point that you actually don't need to work in it. You know, it's just passive income and you just kind of keep an eye on it. But if you don't build something with an exit point in mind, the chances are it's going to be fairly haphazard.
Yep.
Because you haven't got kind of those clear goals of where it's going. But 9 times out of 10, when I say to someone, what's the exit point? They're like, oh, what? I don't want to sell it. And it's like, well, no, but you need to have vision of where it's going.
Yeah, you can't just go, oh, next week it's over, and then shut the doors and everything. Like it, that you've got to, you don't. It's something you don't want to rush, is it, Dave? It's something that you'd rather be ahead on that discussion point. And it doesn't need to be like this huge strategic plan, you know?
I learned that the hard way, I think. I always kind of knew that I wanted to sell my last business, but I didn't set it up right at the start. And unpicking my life from it has been really hard.
Yeah.
Like, I still get emails about it now and I'm like, no, wrong email address.
Not involved. No.
Yeah. So you kind of like, you do want to make sure you set those things up right from the start. And I think that all comes back to that kind of planning and working those things out nice and early.
Yeah. Yeah. So, So goal setting and actually having an idea of where you want to go, I think, is the first step. The other thing, a piece of kind of discussion point around this, is making sure you involve the key stakeholders in that discussion, and make sure you're aligned on that. And again, you know, it doesn't have to be overanalyzed, but, you know, have you sat down with your husband and wife and actually discussed what the goal is here? I remember there was a discussion from a BP business partner, and they were sitting down with a husband and wife. I can't remember the business, but relevant. And they said, what's your goal? I'm looking at exiting in 10 years. The wife turned around and went, no. I thought it was 5. Okay. I think we need a conversation. The unsaid things means that, you know, there can be, you can be variation in thought there. And I think it's, you know, that conversation about what you both want out of it, or if there's multiple directors, what you're both thinking there, especially prevalent if you've got directors of different age brackets. I remember when dealing with another business partner, they had an architectural firm. There was a client. They had a director who was early 50s. The other director was kind of late 30s. So very different stages of life. One was young family. One was kids had flown the roost, didn't want to, was kind of just thinking about, well, how do I get out of the thing? So, you know, different, very different life goals around what they're, where they're at in stages of life. So, you know, presumption of what people want and what you think want is a very dangerous thing that can end into short-term decision-making, which means it could be rushed, which then often might not get the optimum output for whatever you want to achieve. So, Dave, I guess from your experience, how have you, you know, seen that and navigated with clients about how they involve different circumstances around that?
I think you go over that kind of the initial vision and those long-term goals, is it still the same? But then as long as you've got that kind of everyone's on the same page and everyone's in agreement, then you start bringing it back. You bring it down to the midterm goals and then you again pull back to the short-term goals. And people often get very, very fixated on, sweet, these are the goals, going to hit them. But they forget that everything around us is constantly evolving and changing, which, you know, particularly over the last few years. And then your goals and visions need to change at the same time. So, you know, you can't keep aiming for the same goalposts when they've moved.
Yeah.
So you do have to constantly let your business plan evolve. You need to constantly review it 3 monthly, yearly, and, you know, have your 3-year plan as well, but just constantly keep looking at it and adjusting to it and being flexible with the time. And that is comes back to that kind of new year. Everyone's had a bit of downtime, some time to reflect. So now's the time to actually think, well, is my long-term goal still the same? Yes, it is. Okay, so what are going to be the midterm goals for the end of the year? And then what are going to be the short-term goals for each quarter of this year? Because once you've established that, then the real key thing is actually making sure that you pass that information on to the important people within your organization, those key stakeholders, so that they know what they're aiming for.
Yeah.
Because if it's evolving for you, it's evolving for them. But 9 times out of 10, they're the ones who really have to put the work into your vision. So they've got to be totally on board with it as well.
Yeah, completely agree. So if you kind of, let's move on to stage two here, Dave, you know, you've sat down, you've kind of reassessed your goals, whether they've changed or not, kind of relevant in the next part. But do you want to talk through, Dave, the sort of methodology of what we take our clients through of how to sort of analyze, okay, where are we going? But how do we actually start to put that into a plan for the business?
Start to put it into a plan. So we actually work with an organization called Mindshop, or we do some stuff with them, which has been really useful for me because it's helped to kind of piece together something that I think I've naturally done, but didn't really realize that I naturally did it. And they actually use this really cool principle called now, where, how. And so it's pretty much just identifying exactly where you are now, working out where you're actually trying to get to. So that could be in the short term for those short term goals, midterm or long term goals, and then actually putting down the how you're going to make it happen. So actually starting to like flesh that out into more detail. So that's kind of the initial principle. But what you do is, as you kind of dig into it, it really starts to evolve into its own kind of process.
Yeah.
The main thing is the fact that by the end of the conversation, you actually have something tangible to walk away with.
Yep.
So you actually have a plan. It has dates. It has people allocated to it so that accountability is created. more often than not, I've seen a lot of these conversations. People have very, very powerful conversations. They come up with great strategies, great goals, but nothing's documented. And then within 4 weeks' time, it's become, weren't you doing that?
Or was I thought you were doing that.
Or no, I kind of forgot what we said.
Yeah.
You know, it actually has to have specifics.
Yeah. And I think, and we'll get to sort of a little bit more detail about this, but the one thing Mindshot talk about and what we put in place for our clients is, and they've got a title, you know, a one-page plan or a plan on a page, but the idea being is you should be able to fit your plan onto a A4 piece of paper and the old school fact of paper, not that we, any of us use that anymore, but one page of a Word doc or Google doc or whatever you want to do, but you should be able to have those steps and ideas pretty concise and pretty clear, because beyond that, it's probably going to get lost, and you're getting lost in the weeds, but also it's not, you know, you're probably trying to spread yourself a bit too thin potentially as well. You're not really clear on what the priorities are. The first thing that I think a lot of people surprise with is we talk about the now with clients. Often you go, oh yeah, where are you going? How are we going to get there? So Dave, why is it important that we, you know, that we discuss the now with a client? Like why is it important?
Well, we did a client meeting last week, didn't we?
We did.
And it was quite interesting because your client, so I was kind of sitting in, just kind of learning. But it's interesting, you can often forget to ask a client where they're at. You know, in our role as an accounting firm, that side of things, we get to see the back end, so it's easy to read a profit and loss forecast before you go to a meeting and have a bit of an understanding of where the business is at. But that doesn't tell you where they're at. They might be burnt out, they might want a break, they might want to create some flexibility. They may need to double their income so they can buy a house. You literally have no idea what their now is currently until you actually ask them that question. So that's the reason that, or I always want to start with that, is I don't necessarily want to know where is the now from their business. First of all, I want to know where they're at, because knowing where they're at is going to totally drive the rest of the meeting and what you're trying to achieve from the business.
Yeah, and I think even, and that's a good example, Dave, of the session we did last week, which is a client I've worked with for a year and a half-ish, you know, so know well when we catch up for really quite, you know, pretty frequent basis, whether it's through email or, you know, we have a regular meeting, but phone calls in between that as well. And I think just, under, you know, sitting back and going, where are we today and what's happened, especially with what's happened in the last 2 years, I'm getting quite bored of saying that what's happened in the last 2 years. I think I might change at some point, but you know, that things have changed and mindsets have changed and priorities have changed. So understanding where the business is at, where that, as you said, where that business owner is at, because they may just come off that and go, actually, after the last year, I'm done. I cannot do that again. I've had a chat with my husband and wife and they've said, look, we don't want to see you like that. Whatever it might be, you know, there's some simple things there that you've got to just have that check-in of where are you at about things? How do you feel about the business? Oh yeah, last year I wanted to grow it by tenfold, but no way, actually, this is where I want to be. And and actually this has happened, whatever. But understanding the now and the framework of the now, is really a really important part to it. To also, I've seen that when we talk about the now with clients, that they're not quite sure. Like you go, how do you, I don't know, actually. Okay, let's delve into that a bit.
Take some opportunities to explore it. Because I think the nature of being a business owner or being self-employed is the fact that you will always go above and beyond.
Yeah.
And quite often you take a step up because, oh, someone isn't there, so I'll cover. Suddenly you're doing 41 hours a week. Someone isn't there, I'll cover. I'm doing 42 hours a week and that becomes the normal. And before you know it, you're working 60 hours a week.
Yeah.
And you've forgotten to actually go, this isn't why I became self-employed. This isn't why I took the gamble and started a business. And you need to be quizzed on that and held accountable. And more often than not, there's no one holding the person at the top accountable unless we are.
Yeah, yeah. And I think the other thing that you learn with it when you have a conversation about the now is, there'll be plenty of your business and things in your business that are currently working. So actually looking at the now of why that's worked, why it's or why it's not, it means there is some success there that you can probably replicate, do more of, or whatever. So there is always lessons to learn about, okay, well, if we've got some stuff that's working here, let's understand why. What are we, you know, and the example we had from last week was, we were talking about the customers they had, the customers that they were dealing with, which they really enjoyed, who were profitable. They were real partners in the business, that buzzword. And we went, well, where did they come from? And he went, oh yeah, one came from that one and one came from that. He went, oh, should we just do more of that? Oh, yeah, good point. Yeah. You know, and I know that's very simplistic, but it is really reflecting and sitting back and understanding what's currently going on with you and your business can actually go, well, yeah, it's right. Why did I stop doing that?
Now is reflecting on what's working and what isn't working
personally,
and then putting it into the businesses. Okay, so now where's the business at right now?
Yeah.
Again, reflecting on what's working, what isn't working. And then as soon as you kind of start to align that with where you want to go, then you can actually start to really understand what you need to do to make it happen.
Yeah, yeah. So, and look, Dave, we've had some good discussions over the last 2 weeks and then before Christmas, because we're actually reviewing our planning process that we run with clients. We've sort of,
we're doing our own now. We're treating ourselves like a customer.
We are, and we're kind of reviewing it and how we take our clients through that. We're just doing a little bit of review, and I think we can just tweak it a bit. But, you know, it's easy to say, okay, where's the business at? And you go, oh, it's okay or whatever. What is the, you know, for you, Dave, what are the questions or what are the lenses you want that client to look through on their business? What are the sort of points that you kind of want them to go? When you say, how's business going? What are the things that you want them to really go, actually, let's talk about that or this. What are those things that you want them to kind of go through?
I think when you initially ask someone like, how's the business going or where are they at now, you instantly will get to find out whether they're glass half full or half empty.
Yeah.
To be totally honest with you, because, you know, the pessimist is always like, oh, it's not going as good as it should be, blah, blah, blah. Optimist is like, yeah, it's going pretty good. But it's not until you force them to reflect that you actually find out where the business is right now.
Yep.
You know, I had a client meeting just before this, new client to me, so I've just taken them over. Sounds like they've had a pretty rough year from like initial conversations. But actually, when you reflect on the fact that they're a brand new company started in 2019, they're now up and running and they're distributing into China, Dubai and the States. Like, I think they're going pretty good, but they're not hitting the target that they set themselves when they started in 2019. There's only been a global pandemic to like slow them down a little bit. Do you know what I mean? So it's kind of like, until you actually reflect on, well, I was here 2 years ago and now I'm here, then you actually start to draw a little bit of like encouragement from, oh, well, I have achieved this, this, and this. And we haven't quite hit our targets, but we're doing pretty well.
Mm.
And, you know, then that comes down to that age old question, isn't it? Should a target be achievable?
The B hags and all those conversations. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like, if you hit every target, you probably don't set them high enough. So, yeah, I always want them to look back at the past and reflect on where they've been, because I think that is the primary driver on giving them some ideas on actually how they're doing now, and gives them some insight as to, you know, is where their current situation at a good thing or a bad thing? And it gives them the opportunity to look at things that have worked.
Yeah.
Things that haven't worked, so that we can then go, okay, with that in mind, where do we want to go?
Correct. Correct.
You know, learn from the past.
And I think it, you know, and we are probably, well, no, we're not probably, we are very biased on this, that this is why it's important to get some external help. But it is important that when you do this process, your presumption, your biases, your thoughts that you already have on a current situation in your business or the business as a whole, can actually, what's the word I'm looking for? It can not actually give you the right picture, if that makes sense. By actually someone who doesn't know your business very well, or someone that's just outside the business, asking some questions around the now or where your business is at, is super powerful for you to go, actually, I haven't thought about that. Actually, that's an interesting thing I haven't considered. Like, it is important that you kind of get challenged through that little bit of a process, you know, and like you, that example you use there, Dave, of the client who's hitting themselves, you know, kind of like beating themselves up for not achieving their whatever goal they set in 2019. Bit of perspective sometimes really important, and also just making sure that full kind of conversation's had around the now and where it's at. It's also important that, again, when you do this process, that, you know, all the important stakeholders, you know, the directors, etc., involved, because you might have three directors and you may all get three different answers on that one question. So, okay, let's dig into it. Why do you feel things are not great, whereas someone else is going, actually, I think we've done all right here? So let's get some common understanding that about what it is.
Well, it's common language, it's common understanding. It gives you the opportunity to understand someone else's drivers and objectives, and potentially makes you a little bit more sympathetic or understanding of where they're at and where they're going.
Yeah.
So yeah, lots to kind of be thought about in that kind of bracket, I think.
Yeah. And one of the ways that we can sort of, you know, one of the ways we're playing around with this at the moment, and is we take our clients through, is we kind of put them through some, ask some key questions about different parts of the business. And the idea being is to get an idea of the business model, in a sense, like, you know, as a business model, how do you feel about it? And the idea being is, by asking some simple questions, it just gets you reflecting and thinking about how those parts of your business reflect. And this comes back to Dave's point of, you know, one of the key things is we kind of want to get some actionable goals straight out the bat here, and especially in this, ever-changing world, we want to kind of go, okay, where are they, what do we need to maybe focus on tomorrow? So what we do is we kind of take people through, it's a five-step process. Well, seven, we've changed it to five now. Well, it's still might go back to seven, we'll see. But I guess key questions we want to understand from when we go through this process is, as a business, how do you create value for your customers? So have a discussion about that. Currently, how do you do it? What's your service? What's your point of difference? What are your competitive advantages? And again, articulating that, because if there's multiple directors, you might have different answers on that. And so what your competitive advantage is really important. Then you go into kind of your people. So who do you need in the business to actually deliver that product or service? So who are your key staff? Again, I think this question is really important about how you as a business owner potentially fit into the business to that. You know, this may, even though your goals for the business might be time, if you're involved in all these boxes, that might sort of suggest that you're kind of the linchpin. So again, who's involved in some of this stuff? Third one out of this sort of realm of five we go through is, what are the systems and processes do you need to have in place to deliver to your customers? What process do you have in place? Do you have some? That's a good question. How do people find out about the value you provide for customers? So what's your marketing? How do people, how do you acquire your customers? And then lastly, we kind of own that into, what's the return you get from as a business and as business owners, shareholders, whatever it might be, from these activities? So that's not complex, but you're covering kind of how your business is operating with five kind of simple questions, which can get quite detailed, to be brutally honest. And we've seen that with some clients. But Dave, do you want to kind of talk through why it's important to ask just those five questions, rather than kind of going, tell me about, I don't know, your marketing strategy? Why do we do it a bit different in that sense?
I always think you want to start with the outcome. So it's like, how do you create value for your customers? Because actually everything you do needs to be striving to achieve that first and foremost. If you are creating value for your customers, then your customers are going to, customer numbers are going to increase, profits going to increase, and you're actually going to grow a business. Or worst case scenario, you're going to be sustaining what you currently have, which for some businesses is exactly what they're trying to achieve. So you got to start with that question as to what's going on. If it's a new market you're breaking into, you still need to be asking yourself that question. What value am I providing these future customers? You got to do your fact checking on that. You've got to go out and speak to the market. You've got to actually do some research around that on like those feasibility studies. Because at the end of the day, if your product doesn't provide value, then they're not going to get behind it. So first of all, value has got to be your primary driver. I always personally then go on to like, do you actually have the skill set you need to deliver it?
Yeah.
Because that's kind of a real agile question. And it's like, notoriously, a lot of the people we work with, say builders, we've got content writers for social media, we've got a whole host of different things. And they start a business because they are good at what they do.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're brilliant. So they fill themselves up. They want to keep growing and become a social media agency or a whole construction company side of things. But actually, do they have the people that they need to be able to do what they're doing? Because if they're going out on their own, the chances are that they're pretty highly skilled or they've got that kind of that dogged determination that a lot of business owners have. And actually finding people who are going to slot in and work with you isn't always the easiest. So having a really good idea of who you want to bring in, why you want to bring them in, and really nurturing the talent is, hard.
Yeah.
You know, it's something that really needs to be thought about, to be honest with you. I know it's conversations that we've had. I know from when I owned the physio clinic side of things, it was something that we battled with for ages. Yeah. But having a really good understanding of that is really, really important, because it will kind of really drive what you look for in employment, well, when you're employing people, or whether you need to be employing more people, or how you kind of go from it.
Yeah.
So you bring someone in, super talented, super nurturing. I always think of the systems and the processes as the backstops. So if you bring someone in who's good, the chances are they will naturally deliver to a high standard. If they don't, your systems and processes, in my eyes, need to safeguard that. So they need to ensure that a good standard is delivered at all times. So I kind of think of the systems, the processes, the procedures as backstops. I like it when people are given a fair amount of like license to be who they are. Maybe you can't do that in the construction industry, but if you're a social media agency, you don't want everyone writing in exactly the same way. You know, you want people to bring their flair, bring their difference, so that you kind of have a real contrasting kind of base of people. So yeah, then it goes on to the systems, procedures, that side of things, to make sure that you're actually kind of backstopping what you're doing and ensuring that you can keep growing from that platform. Yeah, and then I guess it goes into more into that, adding more value to customers and how you keep kind of ensuring that you're stepping ahead of other competition, you're providing more value to your customers, and you kind of keep that wheel ticking around. Because if you sit still, you'll get mowed over by the masses at some point.
At some point, yeah. And so I think we do that process for the now and the where for clients, and take them through that, because again, irrelevant of what your goal is, you know, whatever the where is asking those questions, there will be differences. There will be massive differences. Even if it's like, actually, I want to have the same type of customer, I've got good systems and processes, but I don't want to be involved. Well, okay, well, what needs to happen with the people or your system process? But that means you don't have to be there. So it's a really simple way, and there's lots of sort of break off conversations and tools we use with clients depending on where we go with that. But then we get into the how, isn't it, Dave? It's, you know, we start with the now, then we go to the where, and then we go to the how. So there's lots that can come
up.
Yeah, so there's a lot, like, there's no doubt with it. All clients that we do this with, there is lots you can do. There is no doubt. So how do clients start to the art of prioritization? Because, you know, it's easy for us, kind of you talked about at the start, let's all go away and we all think we're doing the one thing or another. But the reality is there are things that are going to be more important and then also have a bigger weighting to the output of that you want towards your goal than others. So how do you start that process of going, like, I've got an idea of what we need to look at, but how do I prioritize this to work out what's going to be the most important of these things?
I feel like it's quite a hard one to kind of answer across the board, because a lot of it comes down to a small business. And to be honest, it's something that I've asked a client in a meeting with you before. It's like, are you actually living? And to be honest, that kind of, to me, determines whether you're talking right. Is this a chicken or an egg situation? From a point of view, it's like, you know how you give your customers value, you know where you want to get to, but actually if you're not being able to afford to live, you can't really put too much cash into trying to grow the business.
Yeah.
You need to like secure yourself first of all. Whereas if you know the value that you want to give to your customers, you know where you want to go, but actually your partner earns enough to run the house so you can put all of your disposable income into growing the business, well, that changes how much you're going to just, you know, put the pedal to the metal and drive everything at the how.
Yeah.
So it is a little bit of a balancing act. And that's normally the first thing I want to know when I'm speaking to someone about the how, is like, how do you foresee this happening? And how does that suit your lifestyle?
Yeah.
You know, it's, and you know, another conversation we've had recently is, I think a lot of people also underestimate the value that they are creating in a business. So they kind of think, I want to drive my income, I want to buy a house, I want to get on the property ladder, they want the Kiwi dream. But they actually forget that by growing a solid business, you're pretty much
creating an asset.
Creating a house in another, and a house asset in another way.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yep. So it's kind of, yeah, it's an interesting conversation to have, because I truly believe that's the one. It's like, if you can get a customer up to a point where they're happy and stable on their income, maybe not the greatest income, but stable, then you can drive everything else at the growth opportunities.
Yeah.
So if they've got regular leads, you need to think about getting the right staff around you, and then you can kind of pick up and grow from there. I always come back to this really random analogy when I talk to people about this one. Have you ever heard about the donkey in the well?
No, I have not.
Donkey in the well. So there's a donkey in a well. Can't get the donkey out of the well. So everyone's like, well, we'll just bury it. So they start throwing dirt in. The donkey jumps up and down, and he slowly stamps all the earth down until he's up to the top because they filled it up with so much dirt. So with clients, I'm like, backfill yourself in the same way that the donkey did. So bring in leads, bring in leads, bring in leads. Yeah. And as soon as you're full, bring in an employee.
Yeah.
And then make yourself free. So you've got no clients. Everything's handed over to the employee, which gives you the opportunity to work on marketing, to work on your vision, to work on growth, to work on your systems, procedures. Mm-hmm. And then as new leads come in, fill yourself up again.
Yeah.
And then when you're full, bring in your employee number two, and just so forth until you're kind of effectively all the way out of the business and you don't need to work in it anymore.
And I think that's a really good analogy, Dave. If you think about it, as you said earlier, that most business owners come in because they're a technician of something. They're very good at something, or So the idea being that for me to move forward, I've actually got to do myself out of a job in some ways. I've got to backfill my role as a technician, whether it's you know, building a house or whether it's making great food or whatever it is. But I've got to at some point take myself out of that seat to fully grow the business, depending on where you want to go with it, isn't it?
Well, also, I guess the side of it, I'm presuming that they want to get off the tools or out of what they potentially do. You don't have to, but maybe it's a case of, well, you fill yourself up so that you can employ someone else to do the stuff that you don't want to do. Bring in a bookkeeper, because actually I don't like doing zero. I want to have nothing to do with it, and I'm not very good at it.
Yeah.
I'd rather pay someone to do it. I don't want to handle payroll. Sounds like hard work. So maybe it is going that route, but it's that same principle. It's like, at some point you're going to have to grow your technical capabilities, so bring in more people, but there's no point you doing all the work and you paying them to do nothing. You need to be able to hand that work over.
And
that is probably one of the hardest things of growing a business, because no one will ever do it as good as you.
Yeah.
Simple fact. Literally just not going to happen. Very, very rare that they do. So that's where your systems and procedures come in, to make sure that they do it as close to you as possible. But you also need to be able to just accept the fact that they're not going to do it as good as you, but you will safeguard that by checking the work that goes out, checking the work that's completed, and ensuring that those things are done properly.
Yep. It's a journey, isn't it? It's a journey of change. You know, whatever plan is, it means change, isn't it? Whatever your goals are and how you go through that is going to challenge you as a business owner.
I remember getting really challenged by someone who I've always kind of got a lot of advice from, and he used to say to me, he's like, anything that goes wrong in your business is your fault. And I was like, what do you mean? He's like, you know, any problem, it's my fault. So no matter how negligent a staff member may have been or how stupid they were to do something, it's my fault.
Yeah.
Because they thought they could do that. Or I didn't have a system in place to stop them being able to do that.
Yeah.
Or I hadn't given them the training and development that they needed, or I employed them in the first place. And actually it's like, and I know there's things in there that, you know,
there's always a bit gray,
but it kind of makes sense when you actually think about it like that. But it is a weird one to get your head around. Like, your job is to make sure potentially changes, to make sure that everyone does their job properly.
And I guess the final part that we, you know, as we sort of, we actually started with, is the output of this is to get something into a simple structure. We call it the plan on the page, or, you know, it's one page plan. And limit it to, you know, 3 to 5 strategies. That is going to be the really important part, with a couple of action items next to them. You know, the old adage, less is more, is actually important when you come to the plan of, you know, if you, and I think the one thing I would say here is, if you're doing this yourself, or you're doing it as a, you know, as a group of directors or owners, whatever it might be, you've got to ask a question at this time and go, well, okay, we've got some actions, we've got some things we know we need to do. That's not, you know, coming up with a plan is not the hard part, to be honest. The next part is, which is executing the plan. And so the question you need to probably ask yourselves is, go, how well have we been in the past executing on things and initiatives and plans in the past? if we haven't been great, why? And actually delve into that, because, you know, you could put hours towards this plan and it could be the best plan in the world, you know, make you millions of dollars. But if you can't execute it, it's just a piece of paper. So you have to actually, you know, delve into some of this, the execution aspect, and going, okay, how do we put some structure around our execution here? You know, reflect on why we may have not done, why did some things work? You know, what happened in those situations? But we see that, Dave. So, like, you know, we get back in as business owners, we get busy, life gets happening. Before we know it, it's April, and we're like, oh, geez, we're supposed to have done these three things and we haven't. Yeah. And yeah, so you know, the actual implementation is the hard bit, isn't it, really?
Yeah, like quite often, people walk away buzzing after a good session.
Mm.
You know, they're motivated, they can see the light at the end of the tunnel, you know, they're all on. And, you know, week goes by, you get your email with a few action points, and then the second week goes by and that email drifts slightly, and then, you know, third week,
yeah,
a little bit harder to get hold of, and then week four we normally catch up with them again, and then they walk away again, and it's all systems go for it. Do you know what I mean? It's finding that key point, isn't it? And like I always encourage clients, one of the first thing I do is that I want you to just block out some time in your diary to not work in the business, to work on it. And you need to like take yourself away. You can't do that at work if you're self-employed. You actually need to go work from home, as long as there's no distractions at home, or go to a coffee shop. So you can actually be like, right, I'm taking off my, I'm working in the business hat, and I'm putting on, I'm working on it. And it's the time that I'm going to work on growing the business. Yeah, like it's definitely not an easy thing to do, but I think having the one-page plan, having some dates on it, that you're kind of working towards with everyone else that's in the business is really motivating. And also then when you do have something major come along that's going to cause the business to pivot, or just kind of check that it's still like aligned with its market, you can check that very quickly, very easily. Is this still accurate to where we're trying to go? Yes, it is. Cool. Let's crack on with it. Okay, now it needs to be tweaked. But the chances are, you know, if you're a construction company, you're not suddenly going to massively deviate what you're doing.
Yeah.
You might kind of change your focus slightly. So most of those points are still going to be accurate. You might just have to change a few things here or there. But, you know, it's the old thing. It's like, you're definitely not going to hit a target if it isn't there.
Yeah, agreed.
Yeah, so having them is good. Working out why you haven't hit them in the past is good. You know, people will overachieve because they didn't set them high enough. People will underachieve because they set them too high. You know, so just kind of learning from your mistakes, learning from the history is always important. And I think that's where having external help is really good.
Yeah.
So that could be sitting down with people in like-minded fields and actually chewing the fat a little bit every now and then. It could be just sitting down with other business owners to reflect on problems. It's, you know, actually getting a bit more structured advice in the way of like business support from business partners like myself. Yep. Or other people kind of in that kind of role. Because I always think that's probably one of the biggest shifts for me was when I started getting more external help on the business that I owned. Like it gave me the opportunity to sound out my problems, get quizzed.
Yeah.
You know, they made my life hard, to be totally honest with you. A lot of internal reflection as well. But I think it's probably when the business grew the most.
Yeah, I think this it makes a big difference when you know, okay, I'm catching up with Dave in 3 weeks' time.
Yeah.
I know he's going to ask me, how am I going with these two things which were supposed to be delivered by this end of this month, whatever it might be. Yeah, that little accountability check. And as you said, Dave, it doesn't have to be your accountancy or your business partner or whatever. You know, it could be fellow directors, just making sure you have a regular monthly meeting where you, accountability meeting, whatever you want to call it. It's a bit corny, but you know, they can help. But just that language of actually having, you know, moments in time so things don't drift, and you it's easy for us to go, you know, when it's your own business, to go, oh, it's all right, I'll do that next week, because you can go to bed and no one's going to be on your ass on Monday. But if you do have someone that's
nature, it's human nature, isn't it?
It's human nature. Because I, and it's easy to justify, oh, I couldn't do it this week because I had that job that blew out and I had to go and help the boys out with that, or I had to go and do all that, you know, work with that supplier or win that customer, whatever it might be. There's always justification. There's always, we can find, we can always create ourselves, make ourselves busy. But as you said, Dave, having time in your calendar, some form of accountability check-in with someone, just simple things can make a huge difference in actually making sure things happen.
And like, you know, I just think now, where, how is a really simple process that any business owner, any manager, anybody can ask themselves, you know, where am I at right now? Where am I actually trying to go? How am I going to get there?
Yeah.
You know, it's such a simple process. Actually, you know, you scribble it down on in your notebook, you put it in your notes on your phone, you do something, but actually just, I think going through that process will give you massive amounts of clarity with what you're actually trying to achieve.
Yeah.
You know, and that could be a daily goal. It could be a monthly goal, quarterly, yearly, 3-yearly, you know, it's like, that's probably one of the biggest things I got. I was like, probably did it a lot without thinking about it, but actually the process of knowing it has made my thoughts a lot clearer.
Correct. And as you said, I think that it doesn't matter that the concept of now where, how, it doesn't matter if it's something that you need to achieve in 4 days or 4 years, really, you know, the process can work really to go, okay, where am I today? Where do I want to go? Well, how do I get there?
Also, it's like, you know, you can drive it into any conversation you have with customers, and it automatically adds value because you're asking, oh, where are you actually at? How are you going?
Yeah.
Where are you trying to get to? Oh, how are you going about doing that? They feel loved, nurtured.
Yeah.
And me, I've gained heaps of information that means that I can service them really well.
Yeah. That's a good note to finish up, I think, Dave. We've rambled on a bit there, but hopefully, you know, again, hopefully people get some insights out there. And, you know, any questions, always you can reach out. And we have got, I think, a downloadable Now Where How tool that we can, I'll make see if we've got that. And we'll put that in the show notes so you just help visualize it, but it's a pretty simple process. But thanks for your time, Dave, as always.
Thank you very much. And I'll speak to you soon.
Thanks, Dave.